Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, we've heard a lot about shepherds this week. The week began with Good Shepherd Sunday. In Sunday's gospel, Jesus declared that he is the Good Shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Later in the week, we heard that pastors are shepherds too. They are called, in the words of St. Peter, to shepherd the flock of God that is among them, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have them, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in their charge, but being examples to the flock. Serving under the chief shepherd, Jesus, pastors are to shepherd God's people on the way that leads to Jesus, the one who is himself the way and the truth and the life, the one who laid down his life for the sheep, that we may have life and have it abundantly. Many of you received your call this week to be a shepherd of God's sheep. It's an exciting time. It is for me too, as I recently received and accepted a call to return to the parish. I'm sure you're feeling a whole range of emotions right now. I know I am. There's great joy in thinking about what lies ahead, mixed, of course, with a little bit of anxiety and nervousness. Okay, maybe a lot of nervousness, as you ponder all that you have to do between now and your ordination. But above all, there's excitement. Excitement about beginning your service as a shepherd of God's sheep. And so as we close this week, I suppose it's only fitting that the church year calendar gives us the opportunity to consider briefly the lives of two of God's faithful shepherds, St. Philip and St. James. And in doing so, we can draw strength and inspiration for our own ministry as shepherds, as we see how God worked through these two men to help care for the flock that Jesus had purchased with his own blood. We don't know much about these two apostles of Jesus. Nothing is specifically mentioned about James in the New Testament, except that he was the son of Alphaeus and his mother's name was Mary. He's sometimes called St. James the Younger to distinguish him from his more famous namesake, St. James the Elder, the son of Zebedee. We do know a little more about Philip. At the beginning of John's Gospel, we hear how Jesus called Philip to be his disciple and how Philip then invited Nathanael to come and see Jesus. Philip rightly understood in those early days that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. But then in today's text from John chapter 14, Philip didn't seem to be so clear about Jesus anymore. Incredibly, he asked Jesus to show the Father to him and to the rest of the disciples, not realizing, even though he had spent 3 years with Jesus, that in seeing Jesus, he was in fact seeing the Father. Well, we may not know much specifically about these two apostles of Jesus, but we do know enough about them and about the lives of the apostles collectively to know that the ministries of Philip and James had plenty of ups and downs, and especially downs at first. For you see, like the rest of the disciples, Philip and James had doubts and questions about Jesus. For example, they didn't understand Jesus when he told them repeatedly that he'd have to suffer and die before rising again on the third day. In one of their less finer moments, they quarreled with the other disciples about who among them would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, failing to realize that to be great in God's kingdom meant being a slave and servant of all. And on the night when Jesus was betrayed, the very same night when Jesus told them not to let their hearts be troubled, for he was going away to prepare a place for them, well, they fled from Jesus, abandoning him, leaving Jesus to face the cross alone. No, Philip and James, together with the other disciples, didn't seem at first to have the makings of becoming the great apostles of Jesus, so great that the church still remembers them some 2,000 years later. But as we know, their greatness, their fame was to be found not in themselves, but in Jesus, the one who came to them even though they had abandoned him. He came to them that very first Easter evening as they were hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. The resurrected Lord Jesus appeared to them that evening and forgave them their sins. "Peace be with you," Jesus said to them, giving them the peace that he had won for them and for the whole world on his cross. And what's more, Jesus then commissioned them to share that peace, that forgiveness with the world. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And that's exactly what Philip and James and the other apostles of Jesus, the sent ones of Jesus, did. They shared the peace of Christ wherever they went. Forgiven of their sins and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, they proclaimed to their hearers Jesus as the way and the truth and the life. They boldly declared that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. By God's grace, Philip and James became faithful shepherds of God's sheep. They even gave their lives for Jesus and his church. According to church tradition, Philip went to Phrygia and Galatia, where he was crucified and then killed with a spear. James didn't have it any better. He was thrown off of the temple in Jerusalem, and having survived the fall, he was then stoned and beaten to death with a bat before his body was sawed in two. You can find shields depicting the manner of their deaths mounted in Winnicken Hall, a fitting remembrance of the sacrifices that they, as well as the other apostles, had made as faithful shepherds of Christ and his church. I mentioned earlier that we can draw strength and inspiration from St. Philip and St. James as we recall how God worked through them to care for and shepherd his people. As one of God's shepherds, I particularly find solace in knowing that these men were sinners just as I am, and yet God worked great things through them nonetheless. As Philip and James did, I struggle at times with doubts and fears, especially now as I think about moving and trying to buy a new house and getting settled into a completely new community. Certainly, I've made and I will continue to make all sorts of mistakes and errors in judgment, just as they did. But no matter my sin, I know that Jesus will forgive and restore me just as he forgave and restored Philip and James. What's more, my spirit is strengthened and lifted as I recall what God did through these men. Through their faithful testimony of Jesus as the way and the truth and the life, the Holy Spirit created saving faith in the hearts of many. And even though Philip and James died for the sake of Jesus, they now live forever in those heavenly mansions that Jesus prepared for them and for all believers in him. What wonderful, comforting news this is, for I know that if Jesus did that for them, then he will certainly do the same for me and for you and for all of God's people. In our text for today, Jesus told Philip and James and his other disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Well, Jesus says the same to us, his shepherds and servants today. May God bless you as you do the work of Christ, as you shepherd his people on the way that leads to him in heaven. You do so with his promise that where he is, you too shall be also. And when Jesus, the chief shepherd, appears, you will receive that unfading crown of glory kept in heaven for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.